In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Christos voskrese. Christos aneste. Pra Christon cum cum chiblao. This is the last Sunday that we say this, because the leave taking of Pascha is Wednesday, and then Ascension is Thursday. So we'll say it on Wednesday, but not another Sunday. So we're kind of leaving the Paschal period. I hope it's made a difference to you. I hope it's made some changes in you. I hope you've started working a little harder. That's what we need to do. We need to work harder. It's important to work hard. You don't get anything done without working hard. We see that in this story today about the blind man. It's just a wonderful story. It's an amazing story. I think we should have this in our Christmas Yoka. We should do this play, shouldn't we? I don't know. Did we ever do it? I don't think we did. But it would be great, wouldn't it? It's just, there's so much action in it. I mean, the Lord literally spits on the ground and makes eyeballs and puts eyeballs in his empty eye sockets. Is that amazing? Then he tells the man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And as he's stumbling around, people are jeering at him, making fun of him. Mud is going down his cheeks, but he obeys the Lord. And he sees God made something for him that he didn't even have. That happens to us all the time. You have a broken heart, God can mend your heart. You lack courage, God can create courage. He doesn't create it. He helps you to create it. But he strengthens you. He's with you in every single moment and helps you in everything. If there's something broken in you, God can fix it. He wants to fix it. This man was born blind, and because of the culture, the people said his parents must have sinned. He's an evil person. Something's wrong with him. He's touched in some way. People probably didn't talk to him very much. Probably when he was a boy, he was bullied. All these things happened to him because he was born blind. But the reason he was born blind, the Lord knew from the beginning of time, before time began, the Lord knew why this man would be born blind, so that the works of God would be manifest. You don't know why stuff happens. Most of the time, we don't know. We don't have any idea. But we know one thing about stuff happening. God is in the midst of all of it. God's providence is overwatching everything. So therefore, that's all you need to know. You don't need to know, why is it that this tragedy happened to me? Why is it that this person does this and another person does that? Why is it that the world is insane right now and getting more insane? I don't know. Only God knows these things. But we do know that God is present in all of it. And God is watching over all of it. And he's going to help us. That's the most important answer. And then, as God leads you to know certain things, to have certain experiences, you got to react to them. That's what happens in this life. It's so beautiful. This blind man who didn't see Christ, he didn't know what he looked like. He just heard a voice telling him to go to the pool of Siloam. First, he puts mud in his face, and then he tells him to go to Siloam, and somehow he does it. He obeys. And then, because he's healed on the Sabbath day, the ruling elite are always terrible. They're always terrible, just about always. Because this, you know the idea, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, they didn't have absolute power because, after all, they didn't have the military. But the Jewish ruling elite had some power, and they used every bit of it they could, and they loved their power. And Jesus was a problem for them, because Jesus was real. Jesus actually told the truth, and people listened to Jesus because they could tell he wasn't like them. They didn't like that. So when Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, anybody in their right mind would rejoice and embrace the man and kiss him on both cheeks. But they didn't do that. They wanted to somehow pretend the miracle didn't happen. Well, you couldn't exactly do that, but you could try. So they tried. You've heard the term crazy lying. It's a term that's used with children, especially that have attachment disorder or other problems. And they say lies that are just insane, and they keep with the lie no matter what, even though the lie is clearly not true. It was clearly not true that this was a different man. Clearly this was the man who was healed, but they didn't want to admit it. So they wanted to come up with some reason, some rationale that this was somebody else, not the one that was born blind, without eyeballs. Now he had eyeballs. I like to think that his eyes were intensely beautiful. Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord made his eyes blue, huh? Nobody would have had blue eyes, right? Wouldn't it be amazing? His eyes would have been shining, huh? They didn't want to look at those shining eyes, right? Because those shining eyes were shining a light on them, and they were ugly and terrible. They didn't want that light shown on them. So they wanted to berate the man, and they wanted to minimalize him and basically cancel him, to use a term from our culture. You know, there was canceling going on for a long time before we coined the word cancel culture. People like to cancel. They like to cancel things they don't like, people they don't like, stuff that interferes with their power. It's been going on for a long time. So they were trying to cancel this man. And let's go through a little bit of of the dialogue. But when you read the dialogue, you got to realize this is a dialogue to you, okay? This is you. You're the blind man. You're the one with the mud that has become eyes. And you're the one being berated right after your healing. You're being berated. And you see how this man reacted. You have to react in the same way. And what you can see here, and I've talked about this ever since I've been made a priest, it just seems so crystal clear that all of these gospels, which are really the kind of the reason that we read these gospels, if you read like some of the fathers, they'll say, well, you know, these events happened during the period between Pascha and Pentecost, and indeed they did. And that's true, but that's a boring reason to me. The real reason for these gospels is because they are about enlightenment, about how enlightenment happens. It happens, sometimes it's not pretty how it happens. Sometimes it's not easy how it happens. In fact, pretty much all the time it's not easy how it happens. You see it in all of the stories about Thomas, how he was enlightened. He had a pretty down 7 days, didn't he? But then on the eighth day, the Lord appeared to him, and the Lord healed him of his belief, you know? He gave him substance in his heart, and he could actually believe now. The myrrh-bearing women, the paralytic, the Samaritan woman, now the blind man. All of these things are about enlightenment. God presents us things, but we have to react. If you don't react, it doesn't matter what God does for you. You got to put in the work. You must put in the work. You must move. The Lord said to this man, after he put mud in his face, go to the pool of Siloam. If he hadn't done it, he wouldn't have been healed. If the paralytic had not gotten up and taken his bed and walked, he would not have had maintained that healing. He might have stood up, but if he didn't do anything, he would have fallen back down. You've got to move. You've got to react to the things that God puts in your life. And if you do, beautiful things happen. Let's look at the character of this man. I love the character of this man. I love the fact that he has a sense of humor and a very kind of a ironic, kind of biting sense of humor. He really, absolutely just slays these ruling elites. They didn't even realize it, right? I don't think they really understood how much he eviscerated them with his comments. Especially when he said, what, you want to become his disciples? Could you imagine steam coming out of their ears when they heard that? How hateful they must have been. They wanted to kill him. So they had to symbolically kill him by casting him out of the temple, right? Let's look at the dialogue a little bit. Let me see if I can find it. I guess I got to put on my glasses to be able to do that. He's healed. He comes back and he's seen. And there's no more mud on his face because he's washed his face. And he's got these beautiful eyes. And then they say to him, the neighbors saw him, and they said, this is him. The neighbors know, but others said, well, he's like him, but he's got to be a different person. And he says, I'm the one. You'd think he would be pretty much an expert at knowing who he was. The Jews wouldn't even believe that he knew who he was. I mean, this is what crazy lying does. This is what this kind of just self-interest and selfishness and, and, and ugliness does to the soul. You won't even believe somebody when he says, I'm the guy. He was the guy. He knew he was the guy. Everybody knew he was the guy. The Jews who were questioning him and knew he was the guy. But they didn't want to believe it because of the implications. They say, the ruling elite are saying to him, how are your eyes opened? Well, I don't know how my eyes were opened. The man put mud in my eyes, told me to wash, and now I see. Nobody knows how my eyes were opened. This is amazing. Never since the beginning of time has anybody seen somebody put mud in a man's eye sockets that are empty of eyes and go wash in water and be seen. It was completely inexplicable. It was a dumb question, really. How are your eyes open? Well, clearly your eyes were open because there was divine power. I mean, that's easy. Why not just admit it? It's super easy. Of course, God intervened. I mean, it's so obvious. You don't know the exact technique. You don't know exactly what happened. We don't know the biology. We know that his eyes were opened. His eyes were created, and then they were opened. What an amazing thing. So what an incredibly stupid question. But it's part of that crazy line, asking this question to try to pretend something didn't happen, to try to find some way maybe to trip him up in some way so that they can somehow ignore the miracle. He says, a man called Jesus came, made clay, anointed my eyes, and now I see. And then they say, where is he? He doesn't know. He doesn't know what he looks like. He's only heard his voice. He's only maybe felt the touch of his fingers. He doesn't know who the man is. He wouldn't exactly be in the flow of society, right? He wouldn't exactly be in the daily news stream, right? He was a blind man. Not only blind, but disfigured. And therefore, people didn't want to talk to him. He might have never heard Jesus preach. He might not have ever been near him because he was an outcast. So they bring him to the Pharisees, and it was a Sabbath day. And the Pharisees tried to trip up this man because of the Sabbath day, tried to get at Christ because of the Sabbath day. They wanted to kill him from the very beginning of his ministry, very, very early in his ministry, they wanted to kill him. But he wouldn't let it happen. He wouldn't let it happen because there was a right time and a right place, and Jesus was going to pick the time and the place. About 3.5 years after his ministry began is when he chose to ascend the cross. He wasn't put on the cross. He ascended the cross. So they ask him how he received sight, and he repeats what he told everybody else. He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I did therefore see. And the Pharisees then say, this insane statement that anybody, a child, would know that this is insane. This man's not of God. Oh yeah? He just made eyes and made a man able to see. Who can do that? You think the devil's going to do that? You think just a mortal man's going to do that? Of course this man is of God. It's manifestly obvious. And this is an important thing, that when things are obvious, accept them. A lot of times we don't want to accept obvious things, right? We're doing something that's not good. We don't want to accept that because we want to keep doing it. We have a bad attitude about somebody. We don't want to confront it because we want to keep that bad attitude, or we feel we're deserving. You know, we deserve to have that bad attitude because after what they did to me and such and such. You've got to accept what is true right in front of your eyeballs. You've got to accept it. The Jews didn't do that. You've got to accept. That's part of enlightenment. If you don't accept the things that God gives you, then you don't have a chance. You can't have enlightenment. You've got to accept the things that God brings before your life. And there's lots of them. Some of them about you, and some of them maybe are not so pretty. And others, and some of them are maybe you should realize, you know, I really am lazy about my prayer. I should really make a difference in the morning. I shouldn't have my routine such that I never say my prayers. Well, duh, fix it. That's obvious. How many years do you go through not saying your prayers because, you know, you get up too late and everything else? You got to, obvious things you've got to accept. There's enough non-obvious things, things that are hard to see that you need to begin to be seeing. So you got to see the obvious things. You got to react to the obvious things. That's very important. And if you do react to the obvious things, then you're going to learn the hidden things. just like when Jesus was speaking with Nicodemus, and he said, if you don't understand earthly things, how can I tell you about heavenly things? Well, if you don't react to obvious things, then how can you do the things that are not so obvious? You can't. You just can't. So you know, you're a human being. Human beings need love and affection. They need kindness. That's obvious. So why are you hurting another person? Why do you have bad thoughts about another person? It's obvious that that is just toxic, completely toxic. It's obvious. So you got to work on, like, I can't have that terrible thought about that person. I've got to care about somebody. When your heart tells you that you need to reach out to somebody, you know, what do you need? A bell going off? Your heart tells you. So there, listen to the obvious things. And then God enlightens you. So the Pharisee didn't want to listen to the obvious things. And there are some people that were starting to listen to the obvious things. They're around the Pharisees, the ruling elite. And they say, how can a man do such things if he's a sinner? Well, of course a man can't do such things if he's a sinner. And so there's a division among them. And it might have been that, I don't know, maybe one of those people that was saying, how can he do such things if he was a sinner? Maybe that was Nicodemus, right? Nicodemus was a follower, but he's kind of a bit of a cowardly lion in the beginning, wasn't he, huh? He was kind of afraid. He was a follower in secret until there was this change. Wasn't it beautiful what happened to him? He had courage. At a time when taking Jesus' body could mean he could get killed, he was ready for that. So maybe Nicodemus, I like to think that Nicodemus was one of the ones that was trying to get the Pharisees, his fellow Pharisees, to believe a little bit more intelligently. So there's this division. So they ask him again. They talk to the blind man again as if he's going to share him any new information that's going to really change the situation. So he says, what do you say of him? That he opened thine eyes. That's just, you know, if you're a lawyer, you never ask a question you don't know the answer to. Okay? That was a dumb question. Because what kind of answer is he going to give? Oh, well, this guy's a jerk. He healed me and gave me eyes. Is he going to say that? I mean, is that likely? Not at all. They were hoping that he would say what they were thinking. But he wasn't going to say that. He was going to say that he's a prophet. Boy, they must have been mad when he said that. Because it's true. Everybody in the room knew it's true. He's a prophet. Only a holy person can do such a thing. Only a person who has the ear of God can do such a thing. And so now the Jews are sort of digging a hole deeper and deeper, and they're falling into it, and they're trying to figure out. You know, you can't make a hole. You can't fix a hole that's deep by digging more. You can't do that. That's what they're doing. They're digging more. And so they decide they'll find the parents. And maybe they could work on the parents. And they did work on the parents. The parents were very cowardly. So the parents punted. They said basically that, well, yeah, he's our son, but, you know, he's of age. You ask him. We don't want any part of this. They didn't want to admit to the miracle because they'd be kicked out of the synagogue for such a trivial reason. To be kicked out of the synagogue of Satan, these people that are so full of ugliness, I think you want to be kicked out of such a place. So then they continue to speak to him, and they call him again. They say, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Another just dumb thing to say. In fact, all of it was dumb. I mean, he's shown that he's not going to throw Jesus under the bus. He's not going to do it. This man healed him. This man is a sinner. Really, he's a sinner. Well, the blind man, now seeing, is beginning to see with his spiritual eyes, okay? He doesn't know Jesus. I suppose, you know, sinners can do things too. You know, there's this story that I love to tell that St. Seraphim tells in the Conversation of Multavila. It's about a prostitute that sees a woman, a widow, and her son is dead, and they're going on funeral procession. And the prostitute feels such depth of the woman's despair, that she says to the Lord basically words like, I know that I'm unworthy, I'm wretched, I shouldn't even be addressing you, but not for my sake, but for her sake, for the woman's sake, raise the son. And the son was raised from the dead at the prayers of a prostitute. So sometimes I like to tell people, you know, I'm going to pray for you like a prostitute. Seriously. You know, if you can pray like that kind of prostitute, you're doing pretty well, aren't you? Really. It's a beautiful story. So yes, it's possible for sinners, for God to hear the prayer of a sinner for the sake of other people. That can happen, okay? There's no doubt about that. So the man doesn't know Jesus yet. He's never seen him. He says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know, but I do know that whereas I was blind, now I see. The implication is he's got to be a good man. I mean, I can't verify it exactly because I haven't even seen him yet, but he's got to be a good man. So they ask him again, what did he do? How did he open your eyes? Well, they'd already asked that question. They were really clutching at straws. They had lost, okay? They had lost the room. They'd lost the public confidence. People believed this man was the one who didn't have eyes and who was healed. So he says, what? You want to hear it again? I just love the humor here. It reminds me of St. Elias, you know, when he says to the prophets of Baal, you know, say a little louder. Maybe your God is sleeping, you know, or maybe he's away on a trip or something, on traveling, right? This kind of humor. I love this kind of humor. And the scripture has this. And Jesus sometimes engages in a little bit of this very subtle humor. So he says, will you hear it again? You want to be his disciples? Then they reviled him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to strangle him. But they just said, thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. And Moses is probably up there saying, I don't know these people. These people aren't like me at all. They're not my disciples. Remember that the Lord will say that. He'll say that in the last judgment, right? He'll say to people, I don't know you. Okay? That's a very serious thing. Moses would say, I don't know you either. Because the things I prophesied, you're not doing. I prophesied about the heart, about love, about purity. You're none of those things. So they weren't Moses' disciples. So they cast him out. They did him a favor. They cast him out. And so then the Lord finds him. He has to say this other little bit, which I think is just wonderful. Okay, they're about to cast him out. He knows the blind man can certainly see. I mean, he can see that they're really angry at him and that he's going to be cast out. He could tell, right? So he says this amazing thing. The courage that it took to say this, just amazing. He said, why, hearing is a marvelous thing that ye not know, you don't know where he's from, and yet he opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Such power to say those things. Such power. But the reason he had this power is because he stood by and took what they had given him. He stood for the truth. Yeah, I am the guy who was healed, and I am not going to denigrate the person who healed me. It's clear that he's from God. And as the Pharisees became more and more crazy in their rhetoric, it solidified him and made him understand. That happens to me a lot when, like, the rhetoric nowadays is just insane. The more insane it is, the more I am sure of the truth. The more I'm sure. All I need to do is look at who's behind something, and I know that I don't believe it. If I know who's pushing for it. Don't worry, that's as political as I get today. But you know, he who has eyes to see can see, and ears to hear can hear. They say to him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? They don't even have theology. They don't even understand theology. They're just heretics. You were born in sins because you didn't have eyes. No, you were born without eyes to give for the glory of God, which evidently they're not willing to acknowledge. He's cast out. And the Lord finds him and says, dost thou believe in the Son of God? He's ready for this question. He's ready because he's shown he's got character. When God put things in front of him, he believed them and he reacted to them. When he said, go to the pool of Siloam with mud on your face, he did it. When he was questioned about who he was, I'm the guy. I'm the guy who was healed. When the Pharisees asked these crazy questions, he stood up and gave back as good as he got. Better than he got, actually. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? He hadn't seen Jesus. And Jesus said, thou hast both seen him, and it is he who talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. It's the conversion of a soul. Because he reacted to the things that were in front of him. You have to do that too. It's very important. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it amazing? Is there anything that God cannot do? No. He can do anything. Participate in what he's doing for you. God bless you. Amen. Mm-hmm.